2020. The board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, may go into executive session for the purposes of obtaining legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3 on any matter of the agenda. The board reserves the right to change the order of the agenda items with exception of hearings. The board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, may also go into executive session to discuss or consider records exempt by law from public inspection, including the receipt and discussions of information or testimony that is specifically required to be maintained as confidential by state or federal law pursuant to ARS 38431.03A2. So at this point in time, for the record, I'd like Ms. Kearse, if you could, to do a roll call for our board members, staff, and council.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Roll call starting with staff, Mr. LaMountain.
Here.
Mr. Blanchard.
Here.
Ms. Stanfill.
Here.
Ms. Kearse, I will say I'm here. For board members, we have Mr. Romano.
Here.
Mr. Lupke?
Here.
Mr. Tharp?
Present.
Dr. Leck?
Here.
Mr. Wallace?
Here.
And then for legal advice, we have Mr. Monahan. Seamus Monahan? He was previously...
Yes. Seamus just stepped out for 1 minute, but he'll be right back.
Okay.
So, and that would be, we also have Mary Williams from the AG's office.
Thank you. Sorry, yes. I didn't have her name down.
All right, Seamus is back.
All right, thanks.
All right, okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Kearse. We appreciate that. All right. We'll move now to agenda item number 2, review, discussion, and possible action regarding update on the status of the strife assessment notice to schools formally designated as regionally accredited. Mr. LaMountain, would you please take a moment to provide a brief overview?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Romano, and members of the board and the group that is with us today. First of all, thank you very much. There's many, many schools online, so I appreciate you being here today and listening to this. I wanted
Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin, this is Seamus. I apologize, Seamus, Assistant Attorney General. Could we please have Dr. Leck restate her recusal for the record, please?
Oh, sure. Dr. Leck?
I recuse myself from the discussion based on guidance, legal guidance.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Leck. I wanted to provide a very brief overview of why we're here today and what the Student Tuition Recovery Fund is. Many of you are, this may be the first time that you've been on a call as it relates to this particular fund. So the purpose of the Student Tuition Recovery Fund is to provide financial protection for students impacted by a school closure. It is also to assist the and fund the state board staff with maintaining student records, financial records, and transcripts for those institutions that have closed. Currently, we have 8 million documents that are stored either on a hard copy or in a digital format. We have we provide 6,000 transcript fulfillments per year for students that have attended closed schools, and those transcripts are obviously used for verifying degrees for employment for those individuals that are seeking licensure and for those that continue on education to other institutions. And those particular records are maintained in perpetuity. So they are with us when the school closure happens. They are with us for forever. On July 1st, 2020, the United States Department of Education released new regulations removing the geography from an accredited agency's scope. In addition to the new regulation, removes the terms regional and national in reference to an accrediting agency. The United States Department of Education will only refer to accreditors as institutional or programmatic beginning July 1st of 2020. So that has already happened. This change in regulation creates a conflict with current statutes and rules related to the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education. This change in the department, the United States Department of Education regulations, impacts the language related to our student tuition recovery fund, specifically to ARS 32-3071-9 definitions, ARS 32-3027-D, the student tuition recovery fund, and Arizona Administrative Code R-439-601-A, B, and C, submission of assessments. Under ARS 32-3071-9, the statute reads, regional accrediting agency means an agency which is recognized by the United States Department of Education and which accredits degree-granting institutions operating in a designated geographic region. Under 32-3072-D, institutions accredited by regional or specialized accrediting agencies by the United States Department of Education are exempt from paying into the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. As ED removed the regional and national designators from the regulation, Arizona statute and administrative code as defined above no longer are in alignment. The impact of the change, based on numerous conversations with governmental agencies, eliminates the exemption for the regional institutions that will once receive that exemption. The board, during the September 22nd, 2020 special board meeting on Student Tuition Recovery Fund, approved the following motion. The motion was to direct staff to send invoices for the Student Tuition Recovery Fund to institutions formally recognized as regionally accredited on or before September 30th of 2020. Provide language in the invoice letter that describes the change in federal regulations and conflict with the state statutes and the administrative code. The motion passed 4-0 with Dr. Mittman and Dr. Leck being recused. The purpose of this special board meeting is to hear additional input from institutions regarding the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. Mr. Romano, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. LaMountain. All right, so with that, we'd now like to hear from the schools and the public. We are limiting each speaker to 10 minutes, so please be as concise as possible from that standpoint. I think Ms. Kearse has already mentioned, if you would like the opportunity, please use the chat feature to let her know, and we will call you in the order in which you are received. Please, again, make sure that your mic is on mute until it is your turn or until you are called. So with that, I will ask Mike Rooney to start us off. As he has made known, he has interest in speaking. Mr. LaMountain, if you would please keep time on the 10 minutes. And Ms. Kearse, if you would please announce the next speaker when the active speaker has finished or we have hit that 10-minute mark. So Mr. Rooney, are you available for comment?
Chairman Romano, can you hear me?
We can.
I will not need 10 minutes. I would say to the board, the attorney general, and the staff that my letter of November 17, 2020, in my judgment, explains our position in somewhat detail. Two very brief summaries. Number one, the decision by the U.S. Department of Education to no longer distinguish between regional and national accreditations doesn't mean that there isn't a distinction between regional and national accreditations, and certainly that does not trump Arizona law. I think this is a case really of first impressions. There's no distinction with the Department of Education, but there is a distinction, and therefore the board action was inappropriate. The second comment I'd like to make is that I believe that the instruction to the two board members who happen to be employed by regionally accredited schools requesting that they recuse themselves from the discussion was inappropriate and wrongful. I believe that the nationally accredited schools have the same conflict in the reverse, if they have a conflict at all. With that, you have a summary of our basic position, and we would request that the board put on hold or rescind the bills and the statements to the regionally accredited schools, and that we all, as a group, turn to the legislature and work together with the legislature, not only to correct whatever statute needs to be corrected, but look at the whole issue of the student tuition recovery fund to determine how much should be needed, under what circumstances should additional funding be necessary, and how would that be done? In other words, the legislature, in our judgment, needs to address the entire issue of the fund, bring it current, and consider whether regional and national accreditations need to be separated as they currently have. This is not something that the state board has the authority to do on its own. Certainly, it should and must and needs to work with the legislature and with the school community to do that. That, Chairman Romano, is my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Rooney. Ms. Kearse, if you would please call the next.
At this time, there's no one in the chat advising they'd like to speak.
Mr. Romano, I apologize. There should be a representative from Gamage and Burnham that would like to speak.
Good morning. This is Camila Alarcon. I'm here. I hope you guys can hear me okay.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Camila Alarcon for Gamage and Burnham. We are representing Ottawa University in this matter. I want to just start out by saying that we really appreciate the board and board staff giving us the opportunity to appear before you and present our position. We did submit a letter on November 17th, 2020, which was a brief overview of our arguments, and we wanted to take this chance to flesh some of them out regarding the Student Tuition Recovery Fund. I hope that you will ask us questions and see how we can best solve this. We think that a legislative change or legal remedies that is hopefully we could solve it beforehand, before starting to that discussion. But I also want to first be clear on the record that this is not a hearing, that none of the administrative procedures outlined in the Administrative Procedures Act have been followed, and specifically 41-1092.03. We don't see this as a hearing to call witnesses or present evidence or seek an adjudication after an appealable agency action or a contested case. So that is my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong. We also had questions about the assessment numbers themselves, and we do welcome a discussion to discuss those numbers as well. I have reviewed the letter that Mr. Rooney and Grand Canyon University submitted to the board, and I want to echo those arguments and the positions presented therein. We see this mostly as an issue of statutory construction, that the definition of regional accrediting agency is clear, and that means that it is an agency that is recognized by the U.S. Department of Education and accredits degree granting institutions operating in a designated geographic region. Even with the changes that the U.S. Department of Education made in its rules, we do not believe that it affects that statute, because the statute itself is abundantly clear that you have to meet two different prongs. And till this day, the accrediting agencies such as the HCL meets those two prongs. And that is seen in the language as outlined in the letters of which is and which accredits, both refer back to the agency and not the accrediting agency and not the Department of Education. We find this to be unambiguous. that, for instance, if you would take the Higher Learning Commission, that it is both recognized by the U.S. Department of Education and it accredits degree-granting institutions operating in a designated geographic region. This has not changed since July, and the HLC still satisfy both prongs. So this comes to an argument of substance over form. And it seems to me that the board believes that the form has changed, but in actuality, the statute hasn't, and neither has the substance. So even if the U.S. Department of Education no longer categorizes the agencies as regional or national, the accreditation agencies still exist. The ACL is still a reputable and reliable accrediting agency, and that the institutions accredited under such an agency still have that accreditation, and that the meaning and the significance of that accreditation has not changed, and that the substance, therefore, is still the same. So that is our main position regarding not only is the statute clear, but to try to twist and turn this really seems to me that it involves prioritizing form over substance when the reverse is actually clear. The other things that were of concern to us is that these assessments, so far as they constitute a fee under 41-1008, are not expressly authorized by the legislature for the board to enact. And in fact, these institutions are specifically exempt. So you have to, in order to get around that, which we don't think that you can, you have to circle around a few different ways and to have implemented and send out invoices for fees that are not authorized and not expressly authorized, we think is a violation of the APA. And to the extent that this cannot be legislatively changed, at minimum, it has to be implemented by rule because the statute is still there. Those are our main arguments. We echo the position to and request to rescind the invoice letter and to allow us the opportunity to resolve these issues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Alarcon. Ms. Kearse?
Dr. Jennifer Leck with Grand Canyon University.
Good morning, Vice Chair and members of the board. My name is Dr. Jennifer Leck. I've been employed by several private post-secondary institutions in the state of Arizona, and I'm currently the Executive Vice President of Academic Affairs and the University's Registrar at Grand Canyon University. Today, I'm speaking as a member of the public and not on behalf of GCU. I leave that role to Mr. Rooney and GCU Council. I don't think there are many topics at AZPPSC board meetings outside of closing institutions and the associated strife fund that get everyone passionate one way or the other. I do think there was and is the possibility of compromise on the current issue before the board decided to let the lawyers sort it out. First, all board members except the sole public member technically have a conflict of interest. So to have been recused when the members who are representative of national accreditors, it never seemed right. The proper way to have resolved this issue would be to follow the process as the board would expect any institution to do under their institutional rules. The rules are by statute, and those rules need to be changed in order to achieve the result the board is attempting to solve. Just because the federal government changed their interpretation of the rules does not negate Arizona's ability or responsibility to change its state laws and rules in this case. To do this right, the board needs the 2021 legislature's help on resolving a conflict that was given to us, not created by us. By collaborating as a collective of private post-secondary education institutions, we can come to a satisfactory conclusion that we can present and have consensus. There also must be an infrastructure to properly assess the strife fees for regionally accredited institutions. Regionally accredited institutions being exempt from strife were not asked the right questions on the application to properly determine or assess the required fee. to send bills to institutions that are known to be incorrect is like asking a student to pay a fee 6 months after they enrolled and were not told about. What would the board decide in that case? The board previously talked about a graduated fee with a cap. To have some comprehensive institutions recruiting students to the state, especially in STEM areas, which only helps improve the Arizona economy, seems to be an advantage. We need to think about the totality of private higher education in Arizona. It's not just about the Strife Fund. There are still so many questions unanswered to move forward. I personally believe in the accreditation process. We should want institutions to be accredited because based on board meetings, when someone's not accredited, it becomes the board's job to assess academic, financial, and operational quality, putting more on the board members that are volunteers. The board determined a bill, essentially, for a retroactive fee. When something changes, it's usually going forward. The board chose to use past info to assess an unlegislated fee. And here are some thoughts. Questions. When the cap of $500,000 is reached, what does the board do with the excess funds? When one failed institution's liabilities is above $500,000 cap or multiple failures simultaneously go on at the same time with that cap, what would the board do in that case? We know COVID's going to have an impact on some institutions, not all. And are we sure we thought about all of the current climate in 2020 versus when those rules were created in 1989? In 31 years, a lot's changed. So we need to have a collective post-secondary board think about all of those changes. So personally, as a member of the public, my recommendation is this. Create a committee that can rationally and logically have this discussion representing all private institutions and create a cap so that one or two institutions are not responsible for the entire Strife Fund if that becomes what is pursued. Since the board threw the issue to the lawyers, maybe it should also include those institutional lawyers. Change the statutes to remove accreditation type language through the legislature. I don't believe the board has the authority to do that. The board's job, is to follow those rules. I think the institutions, the regional institutions that paid, I think they need to be refunded their fees and move forward, the right way through the correct process. And then finally, the application is going to have to be revised so that they the correct questions are asked to be able to assess a correct fee. A lot of times those fees are going to be significantly higher than they should be. And I don't think that having to go back to the institutions and ask them what the fee should be is correct. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Leck. Ms. Kurz?
Mr. Evans with Bryan University.
Thank you so much for letting me just share a couple thoughts. Dr. Leck, that was great. I'm just so pleased that we're actually having the conversation around what to do here, because I'm very passionate. I'm the president of Bryan University, and I, for one, am proud to contribute to the Strife Fund. I believe in what it was meant to do, which is to protect students. And as we discuss and as the board works through this, I don't have all the right advice or the right answers, but I do know this. We need money to protect students. And over the last couple of years, we've seen both national and regional schools close, and students have been impacted, and the funds have been drained. And so if there's an opportunity, whether it's through this language change with the Department of Education, or whether there's opportunity through congressional lawmaking to enable a more equitable application and contribution of funds to ensure that we can achieve that primary directive of protecting students, regardless of the type of institution that they attend, I think we have done an amazing thing. So again, I want to say thank you for your work on this. It's important. It needs to be funded. It needs to be equitably funded so that we never run into a situation where we might in the near future, where there's just not enough funds because only the nationals are contributing accordingly. And that's what really I would hope we can avoid. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Ms. Kurz?
It appears that Mr. Fred Lockhart has raised his hand to speak.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be participating in the conversation today. You know, having done this job and running the association now for over 21 years, I can tell you because I've been there many times when schools have closed and harmed members of the public, both here locally, throughout the state, and globally. The purpose of the Strife Fund, in addition to helping our Arizona citizens, students that have been harmed, is also for record retention in perpetuity. Those records, I can't tell you. You can ask Kevin. He can show you the number of times that students request records from schools, institutions that have closed. That's the only proof of graduation that you also have. There was a time when it was considered that a regional school could never, ever fail, when in fact that's not true. We know that. We've seen it many times, and we're witnessing it right now because it's unfolding with the school down in Tucson. So to think that we did not have payments coming from the regionals, when I look at the number of nationally accredited schools and state-licensed non-accredited schools that are performing well, but they're paying into something that everyone should be paying into. There's not a school out there that I know, and I've done this for a long time, that would say that, no, we're not about student protection. We're not about protecting the consumer and ensuring that these records are available for everyone. So let's just find some common sense ways to get this job done, because ultimately it's the students that we're here to serve, not each other, and certainly not our the folks that own the schools, but it's the students. And we owe that to them to find a reasonable way so that everyone is part of the solution to making sure that any Arizona citizen is not going to be harmed by attending one of our schools. So thank you for the time and the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Lockhart. Ms. Kearse, anyone additional?
There are no additional requests to speak in the chat.
Okay. Any comments, discussion from the board? Okay. Well, I would like to make a motion that we do go into executive session. Do I have a second?
On what grounds would that be,
Mr. Romano? Hear from our legal counsel on possible actions that we have available to us.
This is Scott Wong. Do you also want to go in under 38431.03A2 to A4? I apologize, A4. For contemplated yes. Litigation?
I'll amend to add that on. Thank you for the correction.
Thank you.
I'll second that amendment. Scott Wallace.
Okay. Can we take a roll call vote? Ms. Kearse?
Mr. Tharp?
Aye.
Mr. Lupke?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
And Mr. Romano?
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Okay, Mr. Romano, thank you very much. What we'll do is I'm going to move the group into executive session. I believe that I've got everyone. If for some reason you don't get moved into it, if you would please call me and I'll figure out. And Seamus, you're the only one that's, I don't really see. Seamus, can you provide the last two digits of the phone number again?
Yeah, yes, Kevin, that was 4-9.
4-9, okay. So I'm going to do my best to get everybody in there, and then we will go we'll go from there. So you'll see something open up here in a moment.
Okay, at 11:04, the board is going into executive session.